Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7 and 10 to 12. Right here, my... Oh, lapel? Okay. Deuteronomy 34:7 records the length of Moses' life and his physical condition at the time of his death. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dimmed, nor his natural force abated. This same book concludes by saying, "There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do, in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, and all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." But Moses didn't start out that way. I don't suppose there are many characters in Scripture that show a greater contrast at the beginning and end as the man, Moses, the lawgiver. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, the King James Version translates, "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." The New King James Version translates this verse this way, "But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomsoever else you may send." The New American Standard Bible translates it, "But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomsoever thou wilt." The Revised Standard Version puts it this way, "But he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, some other person." Edward Dennett, in his commentary on Exodus, puts it this way, "Send anyone, Lord, but not me." The New International Version translates it thus, "But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else. Let George do it." I think we're living in that age. Let George do it. We don't have the men of God today that seem to be responding to the call of God and accomplishing things for God. The divine command comes in chapter 3, verse 4. "The Lord saw that he turned aside. God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I." Verse 10, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." No question about the command. But notice the disobedient carnality. Moses said, verse 11 of chapter 3, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Lord, have you forgotten how I failed the first time? They wouldn't listen to me. I'm not acceptable." There was no power. He had already failed. And the answer, certainly, I will be with thee. And then the second excuse. No personality. Chapter 4, verse 1. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." No personality. God has an answer. There would be a change in his power. There would be a change in his person. The rod and the hand put in his bosom, if we notice in verses 3 and 6. There would be a change in his talent. There would be a change in his testimony. The talent, the rod thrown down. The testimony, the leprosy removed. And then the next excuse, found over in chapter 4, verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto my servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue." I don't know about you, but this has always given me difficulty. as we think of what we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 25, the New American Standard translates this verse, a man of power and words and deeds. And then the NIV puts it, powerful in speech and action. Yet he didn't want to go. I'm reminded of Lou Holt in 1988 when he defeated our West Virginia team. My team is no good. We can't win. I'm wondering if we're telling the Lord the same thing. We just don't want to go. And the answer here, now therefore go, and I will be with thee and with thy mouth, verse 12, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And then no performance, verse, which is our key verse. O my Lord, I pray thee, but send by the hand of whomsoever thou wilt, or please send someone else. Please send someone else, Lord. And God was angry. We're going to find out a little bit later in Numbers what the anger of God results in as far as Miriam and Aaron were concerned. It meant that the whole congregation had to be still for 7 days. Do we want God to be angry with us? There's a job for every one of us to do. And we are the only ones who can do that specific task. Certainly I will be with thee. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well, verse 14. Verse 15, thou shalt put words in his mouth. And verse 16, thou shalt be unto him instead of God. You know, I thought it rather strange that in Moses saying that he couldn't speak very well, that I counted the number of times that Moses and Aaron spoke, and I think it was about 4 times that they spoke together. But Aaron himself, at least Moses himself spoke, at least 11 times. And yet there were others that seemed to be resist the call of God. We think of Elijah when he turned aside. We think of Jonah. We think of John Mark. We think of Demas. I knew a man in Toronto, when I attended Toronto Emmaus. This man seemed to be so energetic. He led a servicemen group into jails, hospitals, and so on. And I was amazed at what he was able to accomplish in a week's time. All the contacts. And I said to my friend Lloyd Allen, I said, Bill Smith seems to be a tremendously energetic young man. What a man of God. Totally dedicated, totally committed. He really must be fulfilled. And Lloyd turned to me rather sadly. No, he said, he's not fulfilled. He's just frustrated. He says, you know what happened to Bill Smith? It happened many, many years before. God had called him to China. And he told his fiancée, my exercise is to go to China. She says, I'll marry you, but I'll not go to China. Bill Smith stayed in Toronto. You got God's second best. Is this the man that God uses? I like C.H.M. and his comment, God takes up the weakest instrument to accomplish his mightiest ends. A rod, a ram's horn, a cake of barley meal, an earthen pitcher, a shepherd's sling, anything in short, when used of God, will do the appointed work. Men imagine that splendid ends can only be reached by splendid means, but such is not God's way. He can use a crawling worm as well as a scorching sun, a gourd as well as a vehement east wind. And I like the words of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Galatians 2:20, I live yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, his strength is made perfect in weakness. And Judges 6:34, and the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. The marginal reading. Closing, I'd like to tell you about the world's greatest violinist, Paganini. A great number had assembled to hear this tremendous violinist. Hall was packed where he was to perform. And Paganini, that great violinist, got up, and before that crowd of people, he broke the first string. And he broke the second string. And he broke the third string, and there was a gasp from the assembled crowd. And then he began to play. He says, you will see what Paganini can do with one string. You know, brethren and sisters, this morning, and the majority of us are just one string players, aren't we? But when the Lord Jesus begins to play, what marvelous melody can reach to saint and sinner. Let you and I be the man that God used. Moses became a mighty servant of God. I'm glad that the excuse were not from. Chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Just the one verse. Isaiah 6 and 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Yesterday we were thinking about Moses. Please, Lord, send someone else. And yet, after much persuasion from the Lord, he accepted and became one of the greatest leaders of the nation of Israel. This morning, in contrast to Moses, we'd like to think about Joseph. But we realize, of course, that first and foremost, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who could say, here am I, send me. But whether it's Christ, or Joseph, or David, or Paul, it seemed to me that there were five things that seemed to be significant. There was the sending, the submission, the suffering, the satisfaction, and the sovereignty. And this is what I would like to think with you before, as we go into this message today. You remember what Paul said in Acts 9:6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And David rose up early in the morning and went as Jesse had commanded him. So these also are lovely examples, but Joseph is such a lovely character. I've been picking up the book of Genesis in our Bible hour, and I've enjoyed Joseph. Such a rich feast of good things there. No sin recorded of this wonderful man. His sending is seen in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 37. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. First there comes the sending. And I feel very impressed as I minister to all of you this morning. Some of you may be hearing the call for the first time. And I hope your response would be as Joseph's, here am I. It was my privilege to be at the Boston Workers' Conference in 1972. I enjoyed it very much. But while attending that conference, I had no idea what that conference was doing to another young man. The Lord spoke to him very strongly at the Boston conference, and that young man said, God helping me, I would like to see some New Testament assemblies planted. And since that time, Jack Spender has seen six more New Testament assemblies planted in the state of Connecticut. I think a workers' conference is special in that regard. I can think of youth meetings where I remember on one occasion up in Quebec at a midwinter retreat, weather 35 below zero, and it was very difficult coming from the south to enjoy that northern climate. I wonder whether it's worth the trip, 1,000 miles up, to speak to a bunch of young kids about the claims of the Lord Jesus. But I didn't find out until later, many, many years later, that from that retreat, one young fellow was called to Africa. You know, it's a blessing when you can see our camps and our local testimonies and our conferences like this, where the Lord speaks and sends out those to do His work. I hope the Lord will speak to all of us. Our time is running out. We'll soon be on our way to our homeland and with our home responsibility. There was the sending, there was the submission. And there's the part that we don't like to talk about too much, and that's the suffering. I'm not going to ask you to turn to these verses, but I jotted these down. He was hated by his brothers, verse 8. He was misunderstood by his parents, verse 10. He was threatened with death, verse 18. He was sold by his brothers, 28. He suffered temptation in a threefold way in chapter 39 from Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned unjustly, chapter 39. And he suffered in prison. And that's what I would just like to zero in on just momentarily from Psalm 105, verses 17 through 19. Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And the marginal reading says, his soul came into iron. Iron entered into his soul, another rendering puts it. The iron entered into his soul, the suffering that Joseph went through. Just imagine the loneliness, the frustration. Wonder whether it's worth it all. Is there any of God's servants who have not gone through these experiences? Well, if, like Moses, we can have respect unto the recompense or reward, yes, we can say it's worth it all. Until the time came that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Suffering. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. I joyfully take you to the next S, satisfaction. You know, and I quickly want to touch on these with you because it's a blessing to my heart to get through past the suffering a lot of times, although they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and we will suffer. If we suffer, we shall reign. But notice the satisfaction that Joseph had with his ministry for his father, what it resulted in. Chapter 41, verses 56 and 57. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came to Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. You know, it's good to have the gospel to reach out from our ministry, and this is what happened with Joseph first of all. But then notice further over in Genesis, in chapter 47, verses 11 and 12. And this is what delights our hearts too. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession. This is 47, 11, and 12. A possession of the land of Egypt and the best of the land and the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. You know, as we get older, this nourishing is a real blessing and enjoyment to our hearts. I can remember Harold Harper, he said, the Lord gives us children when we're able to take care of them. And this seems to be the way the Lord's dealings with us. Many of us have in her earlier lives have seen souls led to the Lord, and then it seems that as we move on, it's a ministry of an encouragement. Well, what a blessing to be an encouragement to God's people. Well, notice also Joseph in chapter 50 in verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not. 50:21. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He comforted them and spake kindly unto them. 2 weeks ago, I was visiting several homes, and I saw a home where of a couple that used to come to the chapel, and misunderstandings and sickness came along, and they haven't been to the chapel for many years. And I thought, well, it'd be nice just to run in and see them. Got inside the door, and the lady says, thank God the Lord sent you here today. Her husband had shriveled up with diabetes and cancer, and he was shaking. I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, I wish you'd say something to my husband. It's the family next door. People live next door. And apparently, next door, there were people coming and going on drugs and alcohol. They celebrated in the middle of the night and had a party on top of the roof of the house. And then they tried to get inside the homes of the Ballards, and they were terrified. And I could see they needed some comfort. They needed some nourishment. I just took them to the little promise from Job. With God's promise there, thou hast put a hedge around him. Thou hast put a hedge around all of his and everything that he has. I says, Tom, I don't have a gun, but I've got something better than a gun. I've got God's promise. The angel of the Lord is camped around about them that fear him and delivereth them. And when I left, I said, Tom, you going to sleep tonight? He said, yes, I think I will. It's a blessing to encourage God's people. How much time do we have before the Lord comes? We don't know, do we? But in closing, I'd like to just leave an illustration that John Smart gave years ago at Guelph Conference grounds. He said, you all know David Livingston. But he said, did you know that his brother George just died just up here in northern Ontario just a short time back? So that would be 40 years ago, I guess. He said, anybody know of George Livingston? Of course, no one had known of him. He died a millionaire, but a pauper. And David Livingston, that man of God, he died a pauper, but he died a millionaire. The sovereignty. Just one verse as I close. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck. If we suffer, we shall reign. Brethren and sisters, may it be ours to say, hear my, send me. It's worthwhile now, and it sure is going to be worthwhile at the judgment seat of Christ. May God help us to make that commitment for his name.
Through salvation plan and the grace that's going on, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement of hearing prayer and answer. We ask, O Lord, that we might live our lives in the expectancy of answered prayer and through your love and your goodness. We think of this particular day, Father, and of the blessing that awaits us as your word is opened and disseminated. We pray that our hearts might be open, that we might be teachable this day, that Jesus Christ might have first place in our lives. We ask, O Lord, that you would help the hearts of some that are discouraged here this morning. This should be just everything that they need, that they might learn again once to to lean on you. We just commit the day for you, Father, in His lovely name.
Amen.
Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that promise that tells us what is impossible for man, not impossible for God.
Mm-hmm.
Our hearts rejoice. In my own case, I think of my unsaved parents that His brother shared with us. Many of us have relatives, loved ones unsaved that pray for the Lord as long as we are saved. And we will not give up. Father, we ask for Mrs. Remington, hard of hearing, hard of understanding at times, yet we just ask for a miracle. Our Father, we pray that she might be saved.
Amen.
God, we don't want to hear you out for the law of eternity. Our heart breaks to think that this might be so. Oh God, we ask for mercy. We ask that her eyes of understanding might be open to realize the need of Savior. And I turn to the Lord Jesus to receive Him to be saved.
Amen.
Our Father, we think of that evangelistic work scheduled to begin in the island soon. We pray that there might be an outpouring of your Spirit there in a special way, that there might be a real movement of God, that many people would be saved. And Lord, that believers might be edified and built up and encouraged to go out and share the gospel. Father, we just ask your blessing in that area. We thank you for the efforts of those who are continuing to preach the word and to preach the gospel. Father, we think of our brother Elliot today. We pray that you would give him special wisdom and strength from on high, that he might be able to share with us the word of God, and that we might have receptive hearts, that we might hear and do the word of God. Lord, help us have a teachable spirit today, we pray. We thank this brother Carol who is experiencing medical problems at this time in his life, and we ask that he might be healed of this. Lord, that this thing might be removed from him. We give you thanks for all these things, in our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Our Father, we continue to give thee our thanks this morning. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in this mind we do. We also thank you for the great privilege, Father, that has brought us together in fellowship under the sound of thy word. We thank you for thy voice, Father, and we ask this morning to help hear our brother Elliot find wisdom and help. And he would speak to us of the precious word of God. We give thee thanks, Father, again for this privilege and the joy that floods our soul as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for him. In his name.
Amen.
Father, we remember the Blanchard family of Sanders, North Carolina, Mitchell Stolich family, and most are unsaved. We pray for Brother Jewell, who was with us yesterday, who wanted to be with us today, but your will, as to that and Sanders for that funeral today. We pray that you'll give them a word for yourself. And as a result of this funeral service today, then many hearts will be drawn to our brother. We want to thank you for your visit for the wonderful day yesterday. We thank you for the hospitality of so many families in the area. And our hearts are filled with thanksgiving to you for the way you're working in so many lives. Let's go today, we pray. And as you answer prayer today, very carefully, giving you all the praise and all the credit. We do pray with much thanksgiving in our Savior's name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We do have a high priest who is present. He's given to our authority. We bring to you these dear saints whose names have been mentioned and many others who are going through trying circumstances at this time. We thank you as your God of all comfort. The Father of mercy, then we would ask you in your graciousness to deal the heart of those that have special burdens of health, of bereavement, of sadness, Lord, to bring them through these times. Glorify your name. We thank you for the good news of salvation still effective in the lives of many in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your Son who died for us and shed his blood that we can have this hope of eternal life and no eternal.
Our Father, we're thankful for the time we had yesterday evening. to remember our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He left heaven and was willing to come down to this earth and suffer and die so that we might have eternal life. We are before You now in His name and remain before You. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.